May the force be with you. Now, this iconic line from the Star Wars movies may make a great line in a movie, but may the force be with you has no place in our vocabulary at Pentecost. That's because at Pentecost, the church doesn't celebrate the outpouring of a force, but the outpouring of a person. A force is impersonal. It has no emotions, no intellect, no volition, no capacity for a relationship with anyone. A force cares nothing about you. It has no feelings for you at all. But the Holy Spirit does. That's because the Holy Spirit is not an inanimate force, but the living God, the third person of the Trinity. And while the Holy Spirit is, so to speak, a force to be reckoned with, it is not splitting unnecessary theological hairs to distinguish between the power of the Holy Spirit as a force and the nature and being of the Holy Spirit as a person. But the distinction is critical if we are to rightly appreciate and worship the magnificence and majesty of the Holy Spirit as a member of the Godhead. For with the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit is God. Personal, intelligent, volitional, divine, eternal, loving. And He loves you. So how do we know the Holy Spirit is a person? Because the Bible tells us so. The Bible also tells us what the Holy Spirit does as a person, as one of the divine and co-eternal members of the Trinity. To get a better picture of this, let's turn our attention to the handout that I gave you entitled The Work of the Holy Spirit, found in the Reformation Study Bible. According to the categories on the handout, the Bible reveals the personhood of the Holy Spirit in the beginning, in the Old Testament, in the Old Testament prophecy, in salvation, in the New Testament, and in the written word. Let's start with in the beginning. In the beginning, the Holy Spirit was active and present at creation, hovering over the unordered conditions, as we read in Genesis 1:2. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. In the Old Testament, we read that the Holy Spirit is the origin of supernatural abilities, as recorded in Genesis 41:38-40, where the Egyptian Pharaoh, speaking of the patriarch Joseph, said, "Can we find anyone like this man, one in whom the Spirit is the Spirit of God?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since there is no one so discerning and wise as you, you shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders." In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit is the giver of artistic skill, as we read in Exodus 31:2-5, which says, "See, I have chosen Bezalel, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of crafts." The Holy Spirit is the source of power and strength. Think Samson. In the book of Judges, chapters 13-16, it was Samson, more than any other judge of Israel, who experienced the Holy Spirit coming upon him. But even though the Spirit came upon him repeatedly, this had no impact on his character. Thus, like King Saul, Samson lost the Spirit's empowerment as a result of God's judgment. Let the same never be said of us, that by our rebellion and hard-heartedness and disobedience, we too should lose the Spirit's empowerment in our life. Yet the account of the end of Samson's life reflects a renewal of faith while a prisoner of his and God's enemies. And Hebrews 11:32 lists Samson on the honor roll of faith. May our names too be found on the honor roll of faith in heaven. Next, in the Old Testament, we see that the Holy Spirit is the inspiration of prophecy, as recorded in 1 Samuel 19:20 and 23, which reads, "The Spirit of God came on Saul's men, and they prophesied. The Spirit of God came even on Saul, and he walked along prophesying." The Holy Spirit is likewise the equipper of God's messenger, as we read of the prophet and preacher Micah in Micah 3:8. "But as for me, I am filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord, and with justice and might to declare to Jacob his transgressions, to Israel his sin." In the Old Testament prophecy section, the person and work of the Holy Spirit is for the cleansing of the heart, for holy living. We read of this in Ezekiel 36:25 through 29, where the Lord God says, "I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. You will be my people, and I will be your God. I will save you from all your uncleanness." Turning to the section in salvation, we read that the Holy Spirit regenerates the believer. Titus 3:5 says, "God our Savior saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit." In salvation, the Holy Spirit also indwells the believer, as Romans 8:9 through 11 says. "You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you." The person and work of the Holy Spirit in salvation also sanctifies the believer. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 declares, "But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters loved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth." To be sanctified means to become holy, to be set apart, to live in God, for God, through faith in Jesus Christ, by the indwelling Holy Spirit, who transforms you by the renewing of your mind and conforms you more and more to the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. Shifting our focus to section 5 and the person and work of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament, there we read how the Holy Spirit declares the truth about Christ. as recorded in John 16:13-14. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. The primary work of the Holy Spirit is to point to Christ, to draw people to Christ, to magnify his name, and to help believers do the same. To that end, the Holy Spirit endows God's people with power for gospel proclamation. Acts 1:8 speaks of Pentecost when Jesus said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Like the Holy Spirit, the primary work of the Christian is to point to Christ, to draw people to Christ, to magnify his name, and to proclaim the gospel in word and deed so that unbelievers come to faith in Christ, have their sins forgiven, and are saved. For that purpose, the Holy Spirit pours out God's love in the heart. As Romans 5:5 says, "And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." God is love, and love is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, which he plants and nurtures and grows in our hearts, so that the words of the old campfire song prove true of us and the church. They will know we are Christians by our love. Like Jesus himself, the Holy Spirit also makes intercession for us. Romans 8:26 tells us that in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. How can you not be blown away by that? That both the Son of God and the Spirit of God are interceding on your behalf, praying for you, that God's will might be done in your life, that you might experience the abundant life for which Jesus died and rose again, that you might have it. A life of intimate and eternal fellowship with the Father, of holy and eternal communion with the Son, and of holy and eternal relationship with the Holy Spirit. As a child of God and disciple of Christ in the world, the Holy Spirit imparts gifts of ministry. 1 Corinthians 12:4-11 tells us, "There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines." You've been gifted by God to be of service to others in Jesus' name. You've been given the gift of the Holy Spirit to enable you to live for others, not just for yourselves. To live to make a difference in the lives of others for God's glory. Can you think of any higher calling than that upon your life? There is none. And you fulfill your calling at home, at work, in the church, in your family, in the neighborhood, in the community. Whatever you do and wherever you are Christ's, and He is yours. And whatever you do and wherever you are, the Holy Spirit is your helper to get the job done when it comes to living for Christ and others in the world. To get the job done when it comes to changing you from one degree of glory to another, enabling and empowering you to think and act and talk like Jesus, so that when others see you, they see Him. That's why we need the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit enables the fruit of holy living. As Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Surrendering your life and submitting your will to Christ will unleash the fruit and power of the Holy Spirit in your life for your good and for the good of others. And the praise of God. Because we need it, the Holy Spirit strengthens the inner being. As the Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians 3:16, I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being. Last on the handout before us, we read of the person, power, and work of the Holy Spirit in the written word. The Holy Spirit inspired the writing of Scripture, as 2 Timothy 3:16 makes clear, saying, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And in 2 Peter 1:21, for prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God, as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. In all of these ways, the Bible reveals the third person of the Trinity. In the beginning, in Old Testament prophecy, in salvation, in the New Testament, in the written word. Why? So that you might know, believe, and rejoice in the Holy Spirit and who He is, and what He has done, and what He is doing, and what He will do to make your life a light for Christ in the world, to make your life matter, to make your life count, to make your life a Spirit-filled, fruit-bearing tree of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Not only for your own benefit, and it will surely be that, but for the benefit of others. Just as Jesus Christ lived and died and rose again for your benefit and the benefit of others. And just as the Holy Spirit was poured out at Pentecost for your benefit and the benefit of others. It is not an impersonal, uncaring, inanimate force who is with you, but the divine person of the Holy Spirit who is with you. The person of the Holy Spirit who goes before you to show you the way. The person of the Holy Spirit who goes behind you to encourage you. The person of the Holy Spirit who is beside you to befriend you, who is above you to watch over you, and within you to give you peace. God's peace. The peace of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so on this Pentecost Sunday, that is the blessing I pray upon you. Not may the force be with you, but may the Holy Spirit be with you. Before, behind, beside, above, and within you. That the world would see more of Christ and less of you with every passing day. Amen.